Hi.
Hello.
Am I facilitating? I think I'm facilitating, right?
Don't remember if it's you or me.
Okay. Either way, we'll soon
How are
find
you
out.
doing?
I'm okay, and you?
All right. I'm so my room I'm working from home, and my roommate went to the office today for the first time ever. And so I'm trying to use a setup, and I don't know which camera I'm supposed to look at.
Wow,
It's so bad.
fancy, huh?
Very fancy. I'm just like, holy crap.
So your coworker has been working from home all this time?
My roommate, yeah.
Wow.
Whole time. And he finally was like, well, also because their office closed here in the city. And so they moved to Mountain View. He's like, well, I really wasn't counting on the commute to Mountainville.
Yikes.
Let's try the Caltrain for the first time.
Wow, that's rough. I know. I'm getting prepared mentally and emotionally to go back in person to the office. I don't know. May look into retirement.
How long have you been with
With the
the
city,
city?
for about 26 years.
Yeah, you
Yep.
could totally retire now.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. Maybe like I'm bored.
I think I would get bored. Yeah.
I
You
know
know
I
me, I
would.
can always find something. Oh, there's Mark.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Howdy. Oh, it's three.
Am I facilitating?
You are.
All right. Okay, I am going to see the agenda on my phone then. Oh, but you're going to post it, right? You're going to share it. Okay, cool. Thank you.
So we have a council affairs represented with Ken. We always excuse our membership co-chairs because that was the deal that we made with them. And so we're just waiting for a community engagement, Richard or Derek. How are you
Doing
both?
good, and you?
Doing good.
That's great.
Getting ready for our second in-person all weekend peer support training of the year.
Really? You're
How's
gonna do
that
in-person
going?
training?
Yeah, we did that before. We did that a couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago, and it was incredible. I think part of the incredible was because a lot of people, it was their first group in-person thing that wasn't like a surreptitious social outing, and they didn't know anyone else there. Of course, we did the vax thing and asked people to test all that stuff. And it was really a super moving experience. People were, I mean, I think it was also a very over the top experience for some folks because a lot of
Yeah.
people,
All
no one's
right.
forcing anyone to volunteer.
So I guess I'm facilitating and I'm going to stop you. Okay. So are you going to pull the share the
Oh, introduction first.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the steering committee meeting. Why don't we do introductions? Why don't we start with David?
Hi, David Gonzalez, community co-chair.
Beth.
Hi, Bethany, HAVL Services.
Ken.
Ken Pierce, I forgot what I call myself on this one.
At large.
At member at large.
Okay.
But also Council Affairs co-chair. Mark Molnar, council staff.
Kira.
Kara, council staff.
Richard.
Thank you. I'm Richard Sullivan, co-chair, council's full council member.
Chuck.
Chuck Adams, co-chair with the Council Affairs.
And Irma Parada, also co-chair. And I think we're missing Thomas, but he probably will join us soon. Okay, so Mark is going to share the screen and we're going to review the.
I'm going to try it one more time and I'm going to ask that Kira maybe help me out. It's not letting me pull it up. Let me try one more time. One more time. I'll try now over the Word document. Let's see if that works. Maybe Word will work. Okay, you see that?
No.
Okay, Kira. You're on.
All right, give me 1 second. Let me just...
Sorry about that, clearly.
Are we pulling up the agenda first?
I'll ask Kira to pull up the agenda and then the minutes.
Also, can I share, I have to leave after about 35 minutes or 30 minutes from now. If it's at all possible to do the HHS proposal, please consider. Thanks.
We'll do. Thank you.
So just give Kira a couple moments. I did not warn her in advance.
I can try to.
All right, this is the agenda. Can everyone see that?
Yes, thank you, Kira.
All right.
So it sounds like we have a request to move to trade 8 and 7.
Yes, so should we do it after the announcements?
Actually, trade 8 and 6.
8 and 6. Okay, we'll do. So we are going to review and approve July 21st draft agenda. So any questions or suggestions or editing to the agenda?
Move that it be approved.
Okay, so we are going to approve it for consensus, by consensus. Where did it go?
Oh, it's minutes now. We'll be
sorry, do you want me to put up the agenda?
Still? No, it's okay. I'm like... Okay, so we are moving on to the minutes. If you take a little time to review it and let me know if there are any questions or changes, please. Does anyone have any changes or questions? If not, we are going to approve it by consensus. So moving on to, sorry, Kira.
Announcements.
Announcements. Does anyone have announcements?
Just a reminder that the co-chairs have put on hold all meetings through August, all in-person meetings, so everything will be virtual.
Thank you, Mark. Richard?
Yes, I know, today we there's a community engagement report, but Derek Mapp isn't here, and I'm really not prepared. I have to admit, I usually only take notes when I'm gonna do my spot. And Eric, this is Derek's month. Whenever he does that meeting, he reports to this also.
Richard, we can pull up the Richard, we can just pull up the community engagement on our end and go through the agenda. And if you have any other, I mean, you don't need to actually even pull it up. I can just verbally review it. And if there's anything that you would like to add from your memory, please, or you, Kira, I think I'm sure we're also there, can just add.
So I don't know if this is relevant for here, but I also noticed, Mark, on an invitation to the full council meetings, that's a Microsoft Teams link now and not Zoom.
Oh, man, I forgot to turn it off. Gosh darn it. I'm going to have to.
I just checked my mail. I just noticed that. So I.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing that I think I've whined about at prior meetings, where unless you specifically actively turn off the Teams link when you're creating the invite, then it turns into a Teams meeting. So clearly I forgot to do that. So even though there's a Zoom link actually in the location, it pops up as a Microsoft Teams. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. By the end of the week, I will send out a new one. Well, it'll just be another reminder with the Teams link off. And so the only thing, only option people will have will be to choose a Zoom link. Thank you again, Richard.
Thank you. Thomas just joined us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
How would you introduce me, Irma?
The great Thomas Noble.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I noticed you didn't ask any of the rest of us.
I trust Irma.
I guess I am allowed to have a favorite one, am I? Okay. So I think we are moving. Any public comments? I don't think we have any members of the public. Right. So we are going to. So Beth asked us to actually switch the carry forward allocation. And then we're going to do that. And then after that, we're going to do the CHIP and the HHS update. So,
Kira, in case you don't have it handy, I just emailed you the HHS updated recommendations and also the for later in the agenda, the full council agenda for Monday.
Okay, give me 1 second.
So I'll do my little intro while Kira finds that. This is a traveling motion. It traveled across two of the three committees, as well as the PLWH advocacy group. As a reminder, carry forward funds are unspent funds for the prior year that need to be spent down by a certain date. Because they have to be spent down by a certain date, there's only a particular application that can be used for these funds. And the funds themselves are divided up between Ryan White Carry Forward and Minority AIDS Initiative funds as well. This started off with Council Affairs and then moved to membership. Oh, Council Affairs actually updated the recommendations, as we'll see. And then that moved to membership, which upheld the recommendations. And then it finally went to PLWH Advocacy Group on Tuesday, which also upheld the recommendations. And so as we see here, here they are, and I'll turn it over to Beth.
Thanks, Mark, very much. So many of you have seen this before. I will try to be brief, but I'll probably still include most of the first page and a half. So the Ryan White Part A, the regular carry forward funds, the more general bucket, is $333,275. The MIA specific, Minority AIDS Initiative specific Part A funds are $72,297. Together, these are just over $400,000, which is a little bit higher than an average year for us, mainly due to vacancies at CBOs for final invoices of some leftover funds. So these are broken out into different category of spending recommendations. The first one is emergency financial assistance grants, $163,275 from the Ryan White Part A bucket of carry forward. And this is related to increased demand for financial assistance related to COVID. It's brought up a lot of technology and other many, many needs and also some income issues for people. Additionally, number two, food, $80,000. This is mainly to expand food access, but also food costs have increased as well, which is probably eating into their, we would imagine eating into the provider's additional privately fundraised funds. So this is to expand services. Also similar to the income effects, purchasing food is also more difficult when you're having issues with finances. Number three, develop and deliver training for mental health providers working with long-term survivors. This $30,000 recommendation is to produce a training for people newly entering the mental health field in San Francisco, and also similar things like case management and other people would be invited to be trained by people who've been working for rather a long time with long-term survivors, who are a little more aware of the longer history and sort of the accumulation of stresses that people face and traumas. And the next one, the number four here, is a needs assessment focused on potential gaps in mental health and group services for long-term survivors. $30,000 also is recommended for this needs assessment. This one grew out of public comment requesting additional funds for mental health services for long-term survivors. And the requests and the public comments and even the council discussions have sometimes alluded to where that funding would go, such as individual long-term counseling or groups or other psychosocial supports. But there's really a broad set of mental health support programs, and the needs assessment would be to get a sense of where they are and where the gaps might be and what, you know, what would need to expand in the future. So it would be a little more targeted. And additionally, there, I believe there's some Board of Supervisors funding that's about to be awarded in this area. So it would help us with that as well. Some of that may need to be put into contract before the needs assessment would be complete, but it would help in the long term to target that best. And if we could see the second page, I believe there's two more. Thank you very much, Kara. So the fifth recommendation, also at $30,000, is also Ryan White Party funding, is technology to support psychosocial groups to conduct themselves in a hybrid fashion. So right now this meeting is all virtual, and that usually goes pretty well as long as people have the right technology to be on virtual meetings. But psychosocial support groups are traditionally mainly in person, and a lot of them have reconstituted themselves and are holding their in-person meetings, but some people don't feel comfortable attending. And there aren't really a lot of great virtual options to have a joint meeting where some people are in person and some people are remote. So this would be just to support technological solutions. So better cameras that zoom in towards people in the room and better microphones that are, you know, directional or more than one place in the room so that they can be a little more smooth meetings. And last, client incentive vouchers, $72,297 in the Minority AIDS Initiative funding. And this is to support client incentive vouchers, which demand for that has been higher since the pandemic began. And also, I think, actually, if we can scroll to the very bottom, I think it's for drugstores and transportation are the main purposes, but there is a third that I'm not remembering at this moment. Even a little further, just like the very last pair. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, there is not a third. So taxi vouchers and drugstore vouchers is what that would be used for. I think we have on hand some of the other types of things that we, grocery store and muni tokens that we also typically buy, but we have enough of those on hand at the moment. So all in all, this is a $405,000 budget allocation, and the council can weigh in on increasing or decreasing or requesting different things than these. So please let me know let the group know your thoughts and questions. Ken. You might be on mute.
Can you turn your...
I'm getting there. Got it. Sorry. So just some feedback, Beth, because one of the things we talked about was this $30,000 development and training for Zoom or whatever. Video. And I've just been through a couple of those with folks who had the OWL and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And what seems to be the big issue there is they people have to figure out how to zoom in with the OWL, because otherwise the OWL shows you everybody in the room, but they're so tiny you have no idea who they are and what can do. So I'm hoping all those things are filled in. And they tried another one and it worked just as badly. Couldn't do it because of number of microphones in the room need to be greater too.
Right, that gives me an opportunity to expand on that one. That one, we originally, before bringing it to council, had the idea of $30,000. And after learning a little bit more about some of the foibles of some of the technology, that it wasn't necessarily smoother yet, without much practice at least, we reduced it to $15,000 to be a smaller pilot, and one of the committees recommended that we move it back to $30,000 so it can still be an effective pilot, especially since really it needs more experimentation. So we were originally planning to just buy a lot of OWLs, but we are now thinking much more expansively to let people identify what works best for their type of room and use case. And so I think it'll be more different technologies tried. I'm sure OWL will be a few of them, their favorite purposes. I've also now been to one OWL meeting, and I share. And we did, Bill and I had a meeting with, there's a technology committee, I don't remember the name, like there's actually two really cool sounding technology committees of DPH, and they showed us one of the things they were testing, and Bill was more honest than I, and that it was good, and it was effective, and the microphones were great, and it was definitely better than the OWL that we hadn't seen at that point. But it just the tracking for people was really delayed. So kind of if you're not used to it, it's distracting. That's, you know, like we're talking like a 10-second delay, or like not a small one. So yeah, so we will only let people purchase, and we'll let them purchase whatever they want to some extent, but like things that they actually realistically have a sense will work for their use case. And we'll give them some technical advice of what we know so far of cautionary notes. And one of them about the owl in particular, for those who don't know, usually it's designed to be placed in the middle of the room, which so it seems perfect for a psychosocial support group where everyone's, you know, equally looking in the same place. But a lot of times if you have somebody who's not in the room calling in and everybody's then looking at a screen, then it doesn't, you know, you pretty much need the owl to be near the screen, and then it's very similar to a camera at that point. And then the micro, anyway, so I'm going a little long-winded, but the real solutions may end up being more expensive but we can pilot, see if there are any that are, you know, in the $1,000 to $3,000 range that will solve the problem for any of the agencies. And I don't know who put their hand up next, but David, I can see your hand at this time.
Yeah, I didn't go to the committee this month because, you know, we were understaffed at work because of COVID. But for that line item for the mental health assessment for long-term survivors, what was the conversation about, and what, and just want to make sure that 30,000 is appropriate. But secondly, more like, what was the conversation for in terms of like the usage for the council versus just community sort of like, you know, comment? You know what I mean?
I think so. So I'll take one stab and then let me know if I didn't get the right. Actually the meetings where I presented this twice and Bill's presented it twice, I think. Maybe the council staff presented it once. So I've actually only been at twice and we didn't talk much about that one. And I was surprised we didn't talk much about that one. And I don't know if the last group did. So whoever was at the last group, let us know, PLWH. But I can tell you what the HHS conversation was. Essentially, that was it's kind of long. We've been having an ongoing conversation for a year or two about mental health services. And even like internally, when they age us, we have different ideas of what's needed. What we've heard at the council, there are different ideas about what's needed. And it seems to be emerging and growing in a certain direction. And really the capacity constraints where they have arisen more recently have been for workforce issues. Like there have been, you know, more vacancies everywhere, but mental health in particular. So it becomes really important to find something that actually can be sustainable. And if you're having capacity issues, groups become like, you can serve more people that way. So it's not necessarily looking for the lowest threshold way to meet the need. That's not really the goal, but we wanna be able to meet the need. We don't wanna just be able to tell people hire more individual therapists when they can't actually keep their staff full, or, you know, like, so there are a myriad of issues, and we wanna just be sure we're thoughtful about how it's implemented. And we know the council does itself do needs assessments, which could absolutely work. So if this weren't funded, I mean, we don't get to direct what would be studied, but we would say like, maybe there's another way this could be done. But I think this idea would be to fund essentially somebody similar to a grant writer who's familiar with the San Francisco system, who may or may not be a mental health expert. We haven't fully gone down who it would be or how we would do that, because we haven't done this type of needs assessment recently. But it would be somebody who can like fully describe and knows the HIV system of care, so knows the types of services we would, you know, like we have available. Those are the thoughts that I'm aware of so far. Is that kind of what you were looking for, or something different?
Yeah, no, that's actually very, very, very smart. Yeah. That's really cool. You know, that's what I was wondering, like, since I wasn't part of the conversation, I was like, well, what would it look like? Would it be like something at the council level or something bigger than the council level? And it sounds like you're going to aim towards something where the council can sort of provide some guidance towards, which really like far above and affecting sort of the system of care, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the council ultimately decides where it's directed, I believe. But we also like, so I think collectively, we all need to understand this landscape. And I think even Thomas may weigh in. I think Chep is also interested in this topic. So we're hoping it could be helpful. Like, of course, if we spend this money, we'll be focused on services for people living with HIV, but getting a sense of our landscape of available services does hint at what's available to the wider everybody in San Francisco. I forgot to answer your question about cost. We don't really know exactly how much it would cost. So that is a bit of a guess, but a guess based on how much that volume of work costs usually.
Thank you.
All right, if there's no more questions, this is a vote that's on the floor. It did come from PLWH advocacy group, and of course it doesn't involve funds, so it has to be a roll call vote. Motion on the floor is to accept the updated recommendations from HHS. Irma Parada.
Yes.
Richard Sullivan.
Yes.
David Gonzalez.
Yes.
Thomas Noble.
Sorry, abstain.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. It'll now come to full council on Monday for a final authorization. And so, Irma, the next agenda items are HHS and CHEP updates. Might want to start with Beth since she has to.
Maybe leave. Beth can start with the HHS update.
Sure, and I'm not as prepared as I would like to be. I've talked to Bill about it when he's preparing the update for Monday. I know one thing we had talked about in one of the meetings was adding monkeypox reporting. And I found like the San Francisco numbers and the California numbers, but I think that may end up transitioning to the CHEP report. Thomas may have a final decision on that. But there are more cases in San Francisco and California since last we spoke. So we'll begin updating the council about that regularly because it's been of interest. And this is not a formal update, but I feel like the council should know, I've considered whether we should forward, the who is eligible to get vaccinations has increased recently. And as of either yesterday or today, there was actually spare capacity for the first time in a while. There are still requirements of who's eligible or not, and you have to have a certain level of risk. It doesn't anymore have to be immediate close contacts, but you have to have a fairly high threshold of risk. But they're expanding the eligibility at one of the ZSFG sites. So maybe email if you want more information and I can find out what we could forward. But just today, like the capacity has. There's a set aside number of reserved appointments, but there are also walk-in appointments, which will run out when they run out for the day. So it's not very convenient. But if somebody's wanting a vaccination and thinks they're in a high risk category, we can share information on how to do that. And likely one of the teams will do that by Monday. For HHS itself, I'm not very familiar with our trainings that Kevin used to facilitate for the most part. I don't think we're in the middle of one of those. I just had the thought to check in with Bill about that yesterday, and I haven't talked to him yet about that. But for hiring, that is one of our major priorities, because you may be aware that we've had some retirements. And Dean Goodwin took a new role recently. And Joseph Chetre has fully retired now. So we have and we also are hiring for a new position and the epidemic coordinator. So that's really one of our main priorities right now. We have a lot of staff vacancies. And Bill especially is working very hard with HR to get those prioritized, because that can take a long time in our system. And we're moving forward with the epidemic coordinator, and have held interviews with that. So that selection will be done fairly soon. I mean, it could still be months until a person is on board theoretically, but it should be a week to months now. We're getting close on that one. And I think those are the main updates. We also will have the COVID statistics on there. I think everybody here knows we're still in a surge of a sort. So that will be reflected. I think that's all I got. Ken?
Yeah, when we last heard about this in one of the meetings, the issue seemed to be for monkeypox that there was really a not enough vaccine to even begin to start in long lines. Right. So did I hear you say we have more now?
Yes. I don't think it's been publicly announced. That's why I didn't actually forward to the council yet, because I'm not, it was an internal primary care email. They have a public information officer who will put out it. So it's not a ton more. I mean, last I heard, the constraint was, you know, that we were only getting 300 doses or something like that in San Francisco for a while. And that need to be rationed to people who had a close contact with somebody in their household or close contact of another sort that would put them at risk or had already been exposed or had it. So that was real limited. But they got a little bit more such that they have enough doses that they can serve people with the next layer of risk.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mark?
Hi, do you have any updates for the transfer of long-term HIV positive residents of Laguna Honda due to the hopefully temporary loss of accreditation?
That is a very good point. We should put that on our report. I don't have any direct updates. I mean, I know what I've heard internally is that you know, Medicare asked us to, or CMS asked us to make a plan, which I think internally we had originally interpreted as a plan, not that we would actually have to carry any of it out. But I believe we now are needing to actually follow through with some of that plan and transfer some people imminently soon. Not everybody, but I think that some real transfers might happen at some point soon. So we'll get the real update and have that for Monday.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it is an emerging issue. Richard.
Yeah, just on that note, I heard from my mentor today. We have a friend that's been up there under long-term care for 7 years. And they're talking about imminent moves to some type of place in Burlingame. So I'm trying to find that out also.
Yeah, I think this week it became much more real, not because something changed, but because CMS said, and now it's time to take that next step, just as a part of the remediation plan, not, so I don't know if there's a final decision on that, but it's been changing this week. So yeah, we will look into that further. Thank you both for asking and mentioning.
Any more questions for Beth? Right. Thank you, Beth. So yep. Thomas.
You did great. It's not easy to do, right?
Yeah.
It's not. Pop quiz. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I have to leave in 5 minutes. So I will leave shortly after your update, I think, Thomas.
Thank you so much, Beth. We'll see you Monday. Thomas, it's your turn to give us your update.
Exactly. So I think the most significant thing is, I think people know Tracy Packard has announced her retirement. If you haven't heard that, that is definitely happening. So she'll be in a little bit of a limbo space with regards to, there's this process with regards to the city process where you kind of say you're retiring and then you kind of burn out your vacation or something along those lines. So like an official date is a few months out. But with regards to day-to-day activities, the end of the month, so which is in a couple weeks. And so we are kind of in a significant space of unknowns, I'm not quite sure. So just to put that out with regards to what our leadership will look like moving forward. And with Eileen Loughran out and John Melancar and Hannah, so it's just been there's a lot of us missing at this particular point in this space. Monkeypox. So Beth, I think you did a really good job. I the messaging that we're trying to put out with regards to vaccine access is, I think Beth nailed it well, is basically if you're so far all the infections that are being reported out are among men who have sex with men and trans men. And prioritizing vaccinations for those populations, specifically Latino and African-American MSM. So we wanna make sure that we have vaccine equity with regards to the access to that. And so the numbers with regards to, there are some disparities coming through in a significant way. And that's why we wanna make sure that we, BIPOC populations have access to vaccine as easily as possible. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. So we are putting out been kind of activated into the monkeypox space with regards to working with community around messaging and putting things out. So we've been doing presentations, kind of flyering. We're putting together a campaign, kind of like what we did with COVID with regards to the blue and gold signage. Ken? You're on mute, by the way. You're still on mute.
So regard the monkeypox, I'm sure there are going to be questions that arise about long-term survivors and immune-compromised HIV folks in terms of where they fit in and should they or shouldn't they. So anything that y'all can make sure you clarify for us maybe on Monday would help, I think.
Yeah, I think so basically the recommendation is that Beth alluded to, Susan presented, I think, to the Health Commission yesterday, changing the recommendations to MSM or trans men who have had more than one sexual partner in the last 14 days, more specifically, but basically those populations that have multiple sex partners is kind of the direction, the larger bucket. So, yeah.
If that helps. And I would also say, after most of us have followed the news and how Alameda ended up giving it to an organization that had two lines, one if you paid, you got it quicker, and one if, I mean, I would hope we would ensure that all the people we give it to have the same priority and how they give it out.
Or even more so, doing specific efforts to make sure populations that traditionally don't have access have a little bit more access. I don't know how to say that in a way that is, David, you're shaking your head, so hopefully that makes sense.
Oh yeah, equitable access, that's my big thing right now.
That doesn't mean like who traditionally
hasn't gotten right? care, you know?
Right, so. Ideally, what we want to make sure is the vaccine data access is reflective of the populations who are testing positive. So, and the testing process is going to be quite complex just with regard, it's just different than COVID in a significant way. And so having prevalence and numbers and things along those lines, which communities kind of used to with COVID, is just going to be different with monkeypox. So just to put that out there with regards to communicating to the community about these things. Any other specific questions on monkeypox before I kind of, there's a lot moving on it. The news, we're going to put together a newsletter weekly. We're actually looking, also exploring almost a community engagement process weekly as well. So kind of having we're not quite sure what to call it, but a town hall meeting or something that pushes out data, the latest, and vaccine is going to be the really significant thing. What I'm understanding is there's a certain amount of vaccine flowing, but once that kind of is no longer available, it's going to be a significant time between now and then. And really what we're going to have to do is work with community to do other prevention strategies. And so, I think we all in the space know what those look like and what that sounds like, so. Great. Also doing a counselor training the first week of August. The ending the epidemic efforts as well are going well with regards to just the pulling together various meetings and I don't have much to report out on that. The state, I don't know if anybody knows Kevin Sitter, the state of California, but it's been a long time advocate for working with us in San Francisco, is retiring in a couple of weeks. And so Paul Harkin, so Kevin is retiring, but the aging group is going well, and so is the meth group that I sit on with Richard. So I will stop there. Any questions, concerns?
Any more questions for Thomas? Thank you, Thomas, for your report. So moving on to committee and work group report. So we're gonna start with community engagement.
All right, let me pull up this agenda and I'll just go through it. And if Richard or Kira would like to add thing in depth, please do so. One moment. All right, looks like after looking at pro forma stuff, the group reviewed carry forward. Alec, wait a second. Community engagement. Is that true, actually? Was carry forward actually, that occur community engagement? Huh.
I don't believe so. I think we went over the COLAs and the needs assessments and things of that nature. Dave Jordan.
It started actually at Council Affairs, which is why I was a bit confused. Okay, so what I have here on the agenda is besides that, our HCAP report and then update for needs assessment. Basically. Anything to add to that, Richard or Kira? It's pretty straightforward.
It was pretty straightforward. Derek did a good job co-chairing, and it was a pretty straightforward meeting. We got an in-depth, we had lively conversation about the needs assessment and COLA. That was explained to us in full. So that's about all there.
Sorry, can I interject? I would say the largest part of that meeting, other than HCAP, was the report back on the most recent COLA focus group with long-term survivors. And so the committee was presented with the results from that COLA. That is also going to be reviewed by the PLWH work group in September. That's all I got.
Thank you, David. And we should hope to see that COLA at some point, of course, before the full council, so we'll all be able to see the results of that. Thank you, David.
So I think that's it, right, for the community engagement. So let's move to the Community Affairs Committee update, which I believe is going to be Chuck.
I think I'm going to help. Oh,
thank you, Ken.
So for the Council Affairs Committee, we had a small turnout. I think there were three, maybe four of us, if we count Bill Bloom. But we went over, or rather Mark went over the Hep C presentation because the presenter who's going to present it couldn't be there. So he went over that for us. And then we looked at the rollover funds and had a good discussion about that. And that's where we recommended that we take monies, add more, 15,000 more to this project around Zoom capability and in live kind of settings. I'm not sure what you call it all, but anyway, and that Beth was real helpful in that because when we were looking at where to move money, she pointed out to us that it would not be easy to move it from MIA rollover funds just because it kind of muddied the water and it would have to be taken in awkwardly from two because the money was, those are two pots of money anyway. So that's when we decided to pull it, I believe, from the funds that we were going to spend on, I want to say coupons, but I'll help me guys. It's not coupons.
Emergency financial assistance. So the original conception was to move it from vouchers, but because the vouchers were actually going to be paid for by minority and AIDS initiative funds, which of course are separate. That's where Beth moved the challenge. And so Ken and I forget the person who seconded just simply adjusted to pull it from another pile, which was emergency financial assistance.
And I think those are the only two major things that happened. Mark, can you add anything?
Nope, that was basically it. And also I've heard back from the presenter and she's happy to add the additions requested around eligibility for Hep C treatment.
Right, thank you. Membership, I guess.
I can give that. All right, so it was went a little bit all over the map agenda-wise because we had a challenge eventually reaching, but we did eventually reach quorum. So we did, of course, the carry forward allocation and approved the motion from Council Affairs. And then we talked about what we saw, the presentation from Kira on the demographic report for Aries and Epi. And then the most of it was spent on the attendance report and interviews. And so we reviewed a renewal for Paul Harkin and declined. And then we interviewed a applicant to the council and decided not to move forward with that applicant. The challenges with that applicant were basically around, I think, lack of understanding of what the council actually did. And so my understanding from Dave is that Dave has already or will be talking to that applicant about perhaps getting maybe more involved as a member of public. And then perhaps eventually, if there's more understanding of what the council does, could certainly reapply. And I think that's pretty much it for membership. Kira, is there anything that you think I missed?
No, I think you got it all.
Mark, I was in that meeting for a minute and had to jump out just before that individual. Well done. I'll just say that, like, it's good to see that the membership process is, I'll just stop there.
Yeah, I think that's a really solid point. You know, the membership conversation was, I'd say, both very supportive of community members, while also had a lot of realism when it comes to a person's ability to be on the council, possibly being not supported if they don't fully understand what their role would be on the council or what the council itself does.
Yeah, and just the severity of the decisions that this council makes, there needs to be that. When I popped off, that was my concern. So I'm glad, again, yay, well done.
So Mark, I think in lieu of the denial, I think Paul Hawkins here for an appeal.
Denied.
Membership. What happened? I missed that part, sorry.
What does he look like?
Paul Harkin? I mean,
I
mean, it has been a minute. I was joking when I said that they denied Paul Harkin's membership renewal. Of course, that can only be a joke, because of course, if there's a renewal, it would be for Paul Harkin.
I don't know, man. I've been kicking up some illegal shit in the Tenderloin recently, in case you seen the papers. Apparently, I'm a wanted man in Europe. According to the Daily Mail, I'm a criminal.
So I'll take that back.
Great. I've got a poster of it.
That Paul Harkin was definitely renewed per membership. We'll see what happens with the council, of course.
You weren't a criminal before?
You know, there's different levels of notoriety. You know that, right, Ken? When the Daily Mail says it, it's got a little ring to it.
It's like the New York Post.
Yeah. It's print. Sure. You know, trashy tabloid celebrity.
Well, thank you, Mark and Thomas and Paul. We are moving to work groups update. Do we have an update? Who will be?
Yeah, I should have an update from Richard or Dave.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Richard?
The work group we had the other, okay, I wasn't aware of that. All right, yeah, so we met Tuesday, and there were some people that we elected me, or I volunteered to be co-chair for the moment until some others that weren't there might show up. I mentioned Ken Pierce maybe being more qualified if he was going to come to the next one, but if not, I'm ready to stay with that. So I was made co-chair of that group. We formulated some foundation to go forward with. David Jordan is going to look into some things so that we can start to work on things as a group. And for now, we've decided to stick with our meeting schedule. We're going to meet again September 20th. So we're going forward with that. And I wish I could remember offhand the exact things that we wanted to, the foundation we were going to build at, things looking at, but maybe David could jump in. But yeah, we have a couple of things going forward.
Yeah, I can add to that just a little bit. So we reviewed carry forward and moved that forward, as noted earlier in that item. Additionally, it was asked that Bill Blum at the next meeting in September give an update on the two items that were sort of pertinent to the work of PLWH, which was the mental health component of recommendation for carry forward, as well as that needs assessment.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm walking in.
And I apologize. I take my role as a council member seriously.
Sorry,
and I didn't understand that. I forgot that I'm also going to report on that as a co-chair to the steering committee going forward from here on in. So sorry for the misstep.
Right. Not a big deal. You are already doing so much, Richard. I don't think anyone's going to hold it against you.
Thousand lashes, Richard.
And additionally, the work group is going to be reviewing, as noted previously, the COLA report back from long-term survivors. I believe those are the two things as of now that are on the agenda for the September meeting. Oh, sorry. There was one other thing. There was a request for maybe an informational presentation around gerontology services for seniors who are HIV positive seniors. And Bill actually was able to get back to me with a couple contacts around that. So I'm going to reach out to those folks. And if not for the September meeting, maybe for the following meeting, see if we can get a presentation around that specifically. So that's where we are.
Thank you. So moving on to full agenda counts, which we are going to review the upcoming agenda for the meeting on Monday.
I think Ken Pierce has a question.
Oh, sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
My question was more to Dave and Richard. A September meeting, is that going to be before we have our annual allocation and prioritization?
Just before the summit. It's the Tuesday before steering, which is historically when we had been holding this. There was at one point the PLWH had been meeting as the first meeting in the month. And then at some point it was shifted to be the Tuesday before steering, which is where we decided to reschedule it going forward.
Good, thank you.
All right, next is actually the meeting evaluation and then the full council review. I'm gonna try one last time to share screen. If I can't, then I'll just have to read you the evaluation reports. Since Kira will share that. But Kira, if you can also get ready for the full council thing that I sent you, that we'll do after this. Okay, I'll try, wish me luck. Let's see. Okay, well, that's my inbox, don't look. Can you all see that?
No.
Okay, well, there is no need for you to not look then. Okay. Then I will read it to you. There were 9 respondents. 100% said they felt adequately prepared for the meeting. As far as a meeting being run efficiently by Richard Sullivan, it looks like 8 people agreed. 1 person somewhat agreed. The comments were, great job, Richard. Richard was nervous, but facilitated admirably and a happy face. Great job. Great, all in caps. And well done. For question 3 in the discussion during the meeting, I felt my point of view was adequately expressed and understood. 100% said they agreed. Question 4, agenda was well planned. 100% agreed. No comments for either. The monkeypox update by Thomas Noble. 8 people felt it was well prepared and relevant to the HCPC. 1 person somewhat agreed. And the one comment was a sort of mysterious, very information. Okay. The next question was about the post-COVID new norms presentation, also by Thomas Noble, and whether it was well prepared and relevant. 100% said that they agreed, 9 people. There was one comment, great job, Thomas. Next question was about the CQI quality assurance report that we get annually from John Ainsley. 100% said that they agreed it was well prepared and relevant. There were 3 comments. As always, John was excellent, fantastic, in all caps, and then also well done. 8th question was, what worked well for you during this meeting? What could have been improved? There was only 1 response, and that was a pace of the meeting. Apparently worked well. 100% of people agreed with the next statement, and as far as their needs as council members are being met during this time. There were no comments. This received our highest score of the year, perhaps because there were only 9 respondents, but let's do glass half full. 9.9. Any questions?
Could you say that again? That rate?
9.9 for Richard's facilitation job at the full council. I mean, I think that says something.
Always the Russian.
He takes the crown. He takes the crown from
the crown. Sorry, Irma.
And Thomas. Thomas, we don't have a crown anymore.
I brought in 9 people. I've been outreaching in the GL. They filled that out for me.
And Mark, that was
9 people.
9 out of how many were there?
I'd have to look at the full council minutes. I can do that if you just. Oh, actually, I don't have the minutes. The minutes aren't ready yet, so I actually don't know how many were there. We'd be able to find that out after we have the minutes.
Do you have any thoughts about why such poor responses?
I do, and it's my fault. Possibly, I do usually send a reminder email that I specifically call your friendly obnoxious reminder to please do this, and I did not do it that time. So I'm guessing that can be drawn to that. Usually we get about 9 responses, and then after my reminder, we usually get about 3 or 4 more. Our average is 12.
Yeah.
Mea culpa.
well, our attendance is down in the meeting too. So
yeah, well, we also have, I think, 25 currently, or 20, maybe around 25 members. So we're at a low, but we do hope to get more. Dave let me know that we actually have three folks coming in who all identify as Latino. So that's been a challenge for our demographics. So that's something that will help us, and we'll get this up if all three are accepted, of course.
That's great.
I actually have an informational interview with one of those folks tomorrow. Just they want to learn what the council's about before they kind of step into the space. So
wonderful.
All right.
All right.
So now we are going to review the full council agenda for the upcoming meeting on Monday.
Thank you, Kiera, for sharing the screen on that one. It is another 2.5 hour meeting. It's going to be sort of hard to step back from that. I mean, we did start it, and it's hard to sort of schedule around that when there's a number of presentations on the agenda. And so we see here, we have our regular stuff. Unfortunately, Jewel won't be able to join us, but he did say that he had nothing to really report on. We have our Paul Harkin renewal. We have our carry forward allocation. And then we have our annual presentation on Hep C micro elimination efforts in San Francisco. So this one is from Rachel Grinstein, who I'm not sure has appeared before the council before. Usually we get Katie Burke, but I think Katie Burke has moved on. And then we have a break, and then we have Tracy Packer's, no doubt, last appearance before the council. And we'll be doing the annual megatrends presentation, focusing on national prevention issues and initiatives. And then after that, we'll hear from the CARE side with Bill. And so the whole meeting itself goes to 6:30 with, of course, our 10-minute break. Any questions on this agenda? Of course, if there,
Mark, can we get any handouts sent as early as possible so we can look at them, especially the megatrends, if there's anything?
That will be a challenge, unfortunately, especially now. We might be able to get the Hep C one in advance. I don't think Rachel has sent me that one yet with the updates from Council Affairs, but I can certainly email her. I can also email Tracy and Bill, but historically, at least, Tracy's and Bill's often have not actually been completed until that day. And so we'll see what we see.
Well, even if we can send them out that day, it's just, trying to zoom and look on a screen versus.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% sympathetic, for sure. We'll see. Sometimes they don't have them ready until right before the meeting itself. I even recall that from in person, the hustle from Oscar or John Ainsley or Dean with like the very fresh off of the copier presentations. So we'll see. I'll do my reminders.
Thank you. I'm sure with Thomas backing up Tracy, he'll make sure it gets out early.
100%.
Nothing else to do.
Thank you, Mark. I personally appreciate the work of the council staff, because I know that it's really hard to get things ahead of time. So I personally appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that's pretty much it.
We have completed our wonderful meeting.
Getting
ready for Monday. Have a great day.
Thank you, have a good weekend, everyone.
Good job, Irma. Thank you.
Bye. Take care.
Bye. Good to see you all.